6:44 degrees. Speaking of stories behind things, as we start off the best 5 minutes of the day, and welcome Jason Cans from jasoncans.com. It is proposal day, hence our question for listeners today is, how did you propose? And ladies, how are you proposed to? 396-1670, WWIB, let us know. Jason, I think we've covered this before, but the brief story is what?
Well, so, yeah, for folks who don't know, Heather and I talked about getting married on our first date. But the actual proposal took place on Christmas Eve of that same year, and I had prepared a long letter based upon 1 Corinthians 13, and we were at my mom's house, and she was just not getting the hint that I wanted to go and talk and propose, and she was kind of getting irritated because I was prompting her to, like, hey, let's go talk, and eventually we went upstairs and I read her this letter that I wrote and then proposed to her, and thankfully she said yes.
It's not a surprise there was writing involved.
No, that is true.
I thought you were going to tell me that you...
I think she still has it somewhere.
I thought you were going to say you read her a poem that you wrote.
No. Maybe it had some poetic elements. I haven't read it in a long time. I would have to ask her where it is, but...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would be good.
She said it's in the basement in our memory box. So apparently we have a memory box at our house.
Yeah. And that would have been what year? Because you got married in 97?
Yeah, so it would have been 95 that we got engaged.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you remember my proposal, our proposal story?
No, I don't. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. No, that's fine. If you did, then I would be like, okay. Yeah, so I can tell you the day. It was April 26, 1998. And we'd had dinner at Peggy's place, which she shared with a roommate. And I don't know why we drove around. We ended up going to Lake Altoona. I don't know. I probably suggested it. And I think earlier in the evening, I'd given her a book, like my Peggy book, and it talked about different things I really appreciated about her. So kind of setting the scene, we were the only ones at Lake Altoona in late April, hit some swings, eventually a park bench. And then I go down on one knee, and she's like, what's going on? And I'm like, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me? At the same time, opening up the ring box, and she said yes.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I should have known there was some encouragement in there. You're such a great encourager,
yeah,
and
right.
And to have your Peggy book with the things you appreciate. That's
and the fun
wonderful.
Part of that is that afternoon after church, I had driven all the way to her parents' house in Maiden Rock outside of Plum City and asked their permission in person and come back then to make it back in time for dinner at her place. And she had always said, I told her everything, so she never thought I'd be able to surprise her, but I surprised her. So there you go.
Wonderful. Yeah. I don't think I surprised Heather.
Mm.
I mean, we had been talking about it for so long.
Yeah, if the first date.
And I did not ask for permission.
Okay.
Heather's dad would have not, he would have not, thought that was a great idea for me to ask permission.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, hey, it's a great idea to do Romans 6, 7, and 8. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, so it says, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, which covers the whole New Testament, including Romans 6, 7, and 8. It says, dead people cannot continue sinning. The old you died with Jesus. I cannot stress that strongly enough, but the new you, the real and whole you, lives right now in my son and he in you. Theologians have called this precious truth union with Christ. I want you to understand the implications of union with my son, not only for your eternal security, but for your life right now.
Yeah, you know, I think it's the idea of living as the people we actually are in Christ. And sometimes I think we forget that that's who we've already been declared to be. And I think that's a good remembrance for us.
And just, we haven't covered this in a while, but just the whole idea of Letters to Beloved is you wrote this with the idea of specifically, you know, understanding verse by verse, you know, what is God trying to say directly? And that's how this devotional commentary was fleshed out. So,
yep, absolutely.
There we go. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Joan Jett, 64. And when you say Joan Jett, you think of one song. I mean, I don't know. Were there other songs she did? This is like the only one. Almost every wedding dance you ever been to. And the number today is bigger than just about any number we've ever had. It is the number 20 quadrillion. I mean, I don't even know. You go billion, you go trillion. Is quadrillion next? I don't even know. That is the number of ants roaming the earth. Wow. Who counted them?
It was 47 years ago. It was my first year teaching at a high school down in Kenosha County. And every 2 weeks, I would drive all the way there to Ladysmith. Well, on this particular day, it was a Sunday, and I was going to drive back, and her parents were going to have a meal for us. And I went over there, and before the meal, I said to Debbie, I have to deliver a box to a friend of mine. And so we were riding in the car, and as we were riding in the car, and I said, it's in the glove compartment. Would you look in the glove compartment? She picked it up, and she goes, well, this is small. What is it? And I said, well, open it up. And she opened it up, and it was our engagement ring. And it was a very happy day for us. And that's how it happened. And we're still married 47 years ago today.
Hi, I am calling about the proposal to my wife. I proposed to my wife almost 11 years ago. I proposed down in her mother's hometown of Sheboygan, and I took her out on a walk on a pier, and as I was about ready to propose, the sun went down and a fog moved in, and so I proposed in a misty fog down in Sheboygan.
Good morning. Fall is my absolute favorite season. Number one, that's when we got married, but I love the cool, crisp night air, which is great for campfires. I love the color-changing leaves, and I especially love the spiced apple cider from Ronnie Appleseed. Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's proposal day, and so we're asking you on the listener line at 396-1670 or the Web Wake Up Show Facebook group, share with us how you proposed or how you were proposed to. Tina sharing in the Web Wake Up Show Facebook group, she says, ooh, I love proposal stories. Tina says, my hubby had the family all around. I was the only one opening presents at this point, and all eyes were on me, so I kept opening boxes upon boxes. Then I got to the box and started to cry. I saw the wedding band first, then he got down on one knee and pulled out the ring, and of course I said yes. It was the most exciting Christmas of my life. What a good story, huh?
Wow, Tina, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Hey, proposal day, final hour. Tell us how you were proposed to or how you popped the question. 396-1670. Samantha says in the Web Wake Up Show Facebook group, we were hanging out watching a movie, just generally talking about life, and he grabs my hand, pulls out a ring from one of those 25-cent machines and asks me. So that's a different way to do it.
Yeah. Well, what would it take to get you to live a simpler life? There's a company, a yogurt company of all things, that really wants you to give that a shot.
Hmm. Yogurt maker Siggy's, I've never heard of him, is hiring for a freelance gig, officially dubbed Chief Simplicity Officer, which would task you with just that.
So Officer, S-K-Y-R, and you're wondering, okay, that seems like an alternate spelling from what we might have here in the States. Yes, because they want you to move to Iceland.
Hmm. There's one catch.
Now, the company will pay one person $50,000.
Pretty good.
To move to Iceland, one of the world's happiest countries, by rating and document their experience with the newly implemented four-day work week over there in Iceland.
Pretty popular, and a number of companies around here, too. The job requires you to capture content for SIG's social channels and document the mission of simplicity while also experiencing all that Iceland has to offer, including the Northern Lights and Icelandic food. I don't know what we're talking about with that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. I mean, I know that Iceland is beautiful. My brother's been over there, and the Northern Lights are incredible. I kind of think if you want to simplify your life, you should eliminate social media.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, you got to post on social about how simple you are.
Yes.
Along with that $50,000 paycheck, you'll also get a camera for content creation and insider connections to hiking guides, restaurant owners, and chefs, and more. That's pretty cool.
Huh. And to apply for the role, you'll need a valid passport, strong writing skills, a passion for photography, an adaptable nature, and a desire to live a simpler life.
All right. There you go. Yogurt. Simplifying the world one cup at a time.
I wonder
time.
How long you have to stay.
I don't know.
All right, so you posted a question on the WIP Facebook page yesterday.
Yeah, we were just asking, what's one of your favorite things about fall? And Jacqueline responds, cooking meals and pies in the oven, pot roast in my mom's cast iron Dutch oven, and homemade apple pie. And then she says with multiple exclamation points, soups. Yeah, it's soup season.
Boy, I like what Jacqueline's talking about. That all sounds great. Emily says the cooler weather and sweatshirts. Christine says Awana.
Shayla just says, you know what, pretty much everything pumpkin, says it's my favorite season.
Yeah, that's interesting. I saw another pumpkin answer that caught my eye. I don't know if that'll pop up here or not. It was a Culver's treat that's pumpkin. Connie says the smells on so many levels. Take those for granted, right? There are the leaves, the spices, the pumpkins, and everything else.
Yeah. Again, asking on the WWIB Facebook page, what's one of your favorite things about fall? And Shelley says taking my grandkids to the apple orchard and spending the day. And then she says canning season as well. Kelly says hiking with less bugs.
I like that. Yeah. That is a definite plus. Here's the one I was looking ahead to. Pamela says, how about pumpkin spice shake from Culver's? We think about the warm drinks like pumpkin latte or something. How about a pumpkin spice shake?
Add some custard to that. Yeah, you bet.
That sounds good.
Mary says, cooler weather, making soups, baking goods. And she says, yeah, wearing sweatshirts.
Mm-hmm. People have a lot of things they like about fall. Alicia says, cooler biking weather.
Patricia mentions the color changes, the fresh air. Debbie says, cozy quilts and hot chocolate. In agreement there.
Nancy says anything that's pumpkin. Karen says coffee on the porch and the crisp morning air. I'm going to add apple crisp.
Sure.
How about that?
Classic. Absolutely.
Yeah. We got Farmer John on the line.
We do. Farmer John from Govan's Farm. It's opening weekend fall fun at Govan's. Farmer John, great to have you back here on WWIB.
Well, I'm so glad you'd have me back.
Well, my goodness, it's just a tradition here, end of September, usually to the end of October, all things fall at Govan's Farm, and my goodness, it's hard to even think of everything that you've got going on, but, I mean, of course, there's the fall treats, and I tend to gravitate more toward the concession stand, but there's, again, the maze is probably one of the biggest attractions in the area, I would say, that corn maze.
It is. You can't talk about Govan's in the fall and what's new in the fall without thinking to something old at Govan's. We've lambed in. I've had 60 lambs born since Sunday.
Really?
Wow.
Really? We're going to have the barn open on a smaller scale, but we're going to have the barn open. There'll be some sheep in the barn. There'll be some baby chicks.
Well, that's fantastic, because normally we think of that, you know, springtime lambing barns and things like that. But to be able to have the fall experience and then to be able to see the baby chicks and the baby lambs, that's just another reason to go.
We had so many people that came in the fall and wanted to know if the barn was open, and the barn hasn't been open. So we've doubled duties, and we're lambing in a group of sheep right now as well as getting ready for fall.
Now, is that a big, for all of the times that you have in terms of the animals, is that always, the different times we talk to you throughout the year, that's always a big draw, the animals, right?
The animals are always a big draw because babies are new. Every time you see a newborn baby, well, gosh, it's right there in the name. It's a newborn.
Yeah. And the kids love that.
The kids love it. The adults love it. Everybody loves it.
Farmer John from Govan's Farm. Go ahead.
Let's get back to this concession stand thing.
Yes.
Is the kettle corn your favorite?
This is the thing.
Or is it the donuts?
It's the donuts, sir. It's the donuts. And I love the kettle corn, but I mean, we're talking like apple cinnamon apple cider donuts, right? And just, you can't beat them. You just can't.
And they're never the same after the day they're made.
You have to get them warm.
It's the fresh ones. Oh, absolutely.
See, I'm a kettle corn guy, though. I mean, you're just kind of munching your way through and sharing it as a family, right? So,
certainly.
So tell us as well, for those who like maybe to shoot some things off, pumpkin cannon and apple cannon is back once again this year.
Apple cannons, we've increased our offering to three.
Wow.
We're in the process of building some interactive targets so you can compete with your buddy when you get here.
There you go. There you go. And mentioning some of those concessions again. So I love the donuts. I love the apple cider donuts. Donut sundaes, warm pretzels, kettle corn, caramel apple blossoms, hot dogs, hamburgers, brats, chips, cookies, s'mores, apple cider, hot and cold beverages. You cannot go wrong at the concessions. And I say, Mom and Dad, you bring the kids out too, and then get everybody a treat, including yourself, for making the drive.
Well, that's one option. And if the kids think they're too old to have that much fun, leave them at home and come with your spouse on a date.
There you go.
So it's the great variety, though, right? I mean, between the apple cannon and everything else, the treats and the animals. I mean, it's the great variety that just makes the whole deal so inviting at Govan's.
I think it's a great variety. And this animal thing, I think, is going to be great. It's not going to be all of the barn because, frankly, this time of year we've got so many animals that we need to save most of the barn space for them, but we're really excited about having an animal offering in the fall.
And again, opening weekend is this weekend, and we're talking with Farmer John from Govan's Farm. Remind everybody of the hours, too. It looks like starting off Saturday, September 24th, which is coming up this Saturday, and going through the final Saturday of October as well.
That's right. We'll be open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, 11 to 5 on Sundays, and starting next Friday, not tomorrow, but next Friday, we're open from 5 to 10. You can go through that maze in the dark with a flashlight.
There you go.
That sounds fun.
That's a lot of fun, and a lot of the teens probably are really going to love that. I'm just going to try and do this real quick. What's included in your admission? Let me see if I can go through all of these. I don't know if I can do it in one breath, but included in your admission to Govan's Farm: the corn maze, wagon ride, mini golf, giant slide, flying farmer line, hay jump, corn box, duck races, steer roping, cornhole, giant Jenga, pumpkin bowling, farm babies, gaga ball, rat rollers, tractor pull, tug of war, coop, spike ball, connect four, and much more. And I didn't even mention the concessions. That's all included in the fall fun at Govan's.
It's all here for you.
Farmer John, thank you so much for joining us. And I think Mark had one little surprise here for you as well.
Yeah, we had it's Farm Animal Awareness Week, Farmer John. And so we asked our listeners to give us their best farm animal sounds. And this is one of the ones that really stood out the other day.
Hello, this is Doug from Sand Creek. And this is a duck. And this is a bunny.
What's up, Doc? Thank you.
There you go, Farmer John. I mean, you're the real judge. How do you do?
Well, he nailed the turkey.
Very good. Farmer John, we'll look for you at Govan's this weekend. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, right. Farmer John. Govan's Corn Maze and Fall Fun. It opens this Saturday.
All right. It's the WIB Wake Up Show. And, there's an election coming up November the 8th. And so... just a basic question. Can you list the three branches of the U.S. government?
So this is kind of a public service thing, and I know in about 23 hours we do our Friday headlines, and that's tongue-in-cheek public service. But this kind of is, because it's a little bit concerning, right? How many Americans, what percentage of Americans can actually name the three branches of government? This is important.
Yeah. And so it turns out that one in four can't name any of them. Any of them.
So if you can get at least one of these.
Yeah, for the first time in 6 years, the percentage of Americans who correctly named the legislative, executive, and judicial branches, it fell below 50% for, again, folks that could name at least one.
In all, just 47% of respondents knew all three branches of government, a decline of nearly 10 points from last year. And I think that's maybe the thing. It fell 10% in a year?
Mm-hmm. I may have misreported that, so there. My apologies. It just said the percentage who correctly named all three. But anyhow, also dropping this year is the number of Americans who can, without any prompt, name the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. So, yeah, I know that.
I mean, and here's the thing, too, because I know it kind of seems like, oh, high and mighty, you can't name that. But
right. Well, like freedom
of the
press.
Let's not test me live.
You know.
Freedom of speech.
Petition.
Right to bear arms.
Protest. Yeah. So I think we covered them.
But did we get them all? Okay.
Only 6% of the adults surveyed were able to list the right to petition the government as a First Amendment protection.
Okay.
Yeah. Freedom of speech stumping many who surveyed. Two-thirds inaccurately think that Facebook posts are covered by the First Amendment. Apparently they're not. So.
Hey, here's... here's always the thing, too, when it comes to whether it's social media or just things that you say, like, yeah, you can say what you want, but you're not free from the consequences of that speech, too. And so that's when we talk about kindness, when we talk about the golden rule, treating others as you want to be treated. And maybe think about that, especially when you are posting or possibly refraining from posting on Facebook, not necessarily for fear of government reprisal, but the fact that, hey, what you say has consequences.
Yeah. I know outgoing Republican Senator Kathy Brunier, she worked in elections for more than a decade here locally in Chippewa County. And she has said we need to do some to step up our educating of the public in terms of elections. But when it comes to our system, I like to turn to Third Rock from the Sun.
There is no choice. My only choice is not to vote at all. Democracy is horrible, absolutely horrible.
You're so right. Democracy is the worst form of government there is, except for all of the others.
Oh.
And that is exactly why you have to vote.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. If you don't vote, you can't complain.
Complaining is all I have left. W-W-I-T.